Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you, and a happy Sabbath to those on the webcast. It's good to be here, and it's good to worship the most powerful God in the universe. Now, aren't grandchildren precious? Someone once jokingly said, "If I knew grandchildren were so much fun, I would have had them first. Skip the kids." Now, I can see Joe shaking his head right now in agreement, because you may not realize it, Joe is a new grandfather. Not only a new grandfather, he's a very proud grandfather. We share pictures almost every week. Anyone who knows anything about Darlene and I know that we are grandchildren people. And we used to have a grandchildren house. So as often as I get a chance, I take my favorite girls, and you know who they are. They're not here right now, but we go out for breakfast, and after church, we go out to eat. I love spending time with them. So I'm a teacher at heart, and I always look for opportunities to teach, to share with them. And so I ask, you know, if there are any things you would like me to go over with you, to talk to you about, let me know. And I'll be happy to take the time and spend some time with you, extra time with you, and do that. So one of them said, maybe once a month we can spend some time. I have some questions I've been pondering, and maybe you can help me resolve those. So very first question she asked me, I have a question, she said, on trust. Like, how can we trust that the Bible is true because parts of it are written by people and there are so many religions with different interpretations? So we took the time one evening and we went over that. It was done. I said, "Are you okay now? You understand? You have a handle on that?" "Yes, Poppy," she said, "have a handle on that." Second question she asked me is, since God is all-knowing and all-powerful, is He allowing evil to occur in the world now for trials and learning? Can't He just stop it until He comes back? Then she asked the clincher question, why do bad things happen to good people? So if you're looking for a title, it is, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'm sure at one time or another, we have all wondered this ourselves, or maybe asked the question. So let me ask you, do you know any good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, it may surprise you, Christ didn't. He didn't. In speaking as a man, He did not even consider Himself good. Now, doesn't that seem strange? Well, let's solve this good people puzzle once and for all. Christ was in the middle of a very fascinating conversation. Let us kind of listen in by turning to Matthew 19:17. Well, let's look at 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he addressed Jesus as good master. Jesus said unto him, "Why are you calling me good? There is none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep that in mind. So there's none good but God. So when we ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there are really no good people. Well, Dr. B, you said, what do you mean by that? Well, let's see what we might consider good. Speaking about God, and we won't turn there, 2 Chronicles 16:33, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, Now there's a certain goodness about God that we can't be, we can't match, we can't have. Let's look at Psalms 34:8. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So when we come to good, only God is good. So where does that leave us? Now, as human beings, we aren't good and we can't be good. Goodness is something we need to strive for. Goodness is something that we can have. But goodness is a fruit of God's Spirit. And goodness is something we can only have as we get God's Holy Spirit and as it develops in us and produces that fruit of goodness. So God isn't really looking for good people. God is looking for people that have the right attitude, because it's with that right attitude that we can develop the quality of goodness, that we can develop the quality of goodness. So we do good, we can do good, or what seems to be good, but here's the context in which we do that. As we learned last week, many times our good is with zeal, but not according to knowledge. So we're doing good, or what seems good, or what we think is good, but maybe God has a little different idea of what we should be doing that's good. Like Paul, sometimes our attempts at good fall flat. Let's read what Paul said about that in Romans 7:18-24. Romans 7:18-24. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So even Paul agreed that he wasn't good. For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, that is in my flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It is not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight to do what God wants me to do after the inward man. So even Paul had a struggle in doing good. And he said, in me dwelleth no good thing. Our only hope of doing good is through, like I said, the gift of God's Spirit. And our only hope in being good is when we become kings or priests in the kingdom of God. So is God looking for good people? Well, there are none. Who is he looking for? He said, to this man will I look, even to him that is meek and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Because it's only as we tremble at his word that we obey him, and it's only in obeying him that we acquire and develop his Holy Spirit, and it's only in doing that that the fruit of goodness becomes evident in our lives. So, why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question. In the time that remains, let's solve this puzzle once and for all. We are inherently evil, and bad things happen to us because of one, our actions, breaking God's laws, and even man's laws sometimes. Speeding? Yeah, we do that. Causes accidents, and bad things happen. Sometimes by our mistakes. We make mistakes and bring bad things on ourselves. We are swimming in a dirty pond, living in a bad world, walking through a bad forest. So by virtue of swimming in this dirty pond, the jellyfish are all over. They don't discriminate. They will sting you if you get in touch with them. Has anyone ever been bitten by a jellyfish, stung by it? You know, it's not fun at all. Okay? Or walking through a forest, the thick brush, and you're getting the thorns, and you're getting the thistles, and every once in a while, poison ivy. It doesn't discriminate. You just happen to be in a bad place. Or we are in a bad place called this present evil world. And so by virtue of being here, we are subject to the evil that's in this world. And so bad things happen. We are swimming with the sharks. And I'll pause and tell you a shark story. If there are any sharks in the audience, I'll explain. This is just meant to be funny. So three good friends were on a fishing trip. A doctor, an attorney, and a businessman. And they got into trouble. And they needed help. And the engine failed. But they were within sight of the shore, and those were before cell phone days. And so they decided one of us has to swim to shore and get some help. So the doctor volunteered. Doctors do that. And as soon as he jumped into the water, he wasn't well in the water that he turned back and climbed out the boat real fast. What's going on? He said, sharks. Well, that changed the picture. Now, who's going to go out there and swim to get help? They were stuck. So after an hour or two, it seems as though the sharks swam off, and the businessman decided, well, maybe I'll take a chance. And he took a plunge and started, but he hadn't gotten very far when he made a dash swim back to the boat, climbed in. Sharks. Okay, so that left the attorney. And he said, well, fine, guys, I'll go. And he jumped in and swam to shore, made arrangements for help, and swam back. So they looked at him and said, well, how did you do that? He said, professional courtesy. Professional courtesy. Okay, but all the joking aside, we are swimming with the sharks. We live in fact, let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there are sharks out there. And their intent is to destroy us, devour us, make bad things happen to us. We're just in a bad environment. Another reason why bad things happen to us is because we are following God's way. And history shows, and the Bible confirms, that bad things happen to people who follow God's way. Something very bad happened to Jesus Christ, called the crucifixion. And those who followed him, most of them died horrible deaths. In fact, if we read Hebrews 11, let's turn there. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 32. Now, Hebrews 11 is the first chapter, and it's talking about what we would consider good people. Good people. Even God looks at them with tremendous favor. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and so on. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured. Bad thing. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Pretty bad things. They were stoned. Stephen was the first to die as a Christian. Stoned to death. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Pretty bad things. And these are people we would normally consider good. In fact, God pointed them out as examples for us. Okay, another thing is why bad things happen to us. God promises that in this world, bad things are going to happen. He calls it tribulations. And me, I'd rather a bad thing than a tribulation. Tribulations don't sound too good. But God promises that in this world, ye shall have tribulations. Not only that, point number six, God asks us to put ourselves in situations where bad things can happen to us. Now, athletes are out there having fun, but sometimes they get injured. An ankle, they blow a knee, sometimes they have pretty serious injuries. And God tells us to run a race. We're in a race. We're an athlete for God. And just by virtue of being in that race, bad things can happen to us. And then the last thing I have here, why bad things happen, is we live in an evil world and there's something we're exposed to: time and chance. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So why all these bad things? Do you notice when bad things happen, people's minds turn to God in one form or another? Some turn to God just to curse, and they use his name in vain. Some actually turn to God just to curse God himself, while others turn to God to seek his deliverance. But most time, it is said there are no atheists on a sinking ship. All of a sudden now, if there's any hope for us, maybe God can help us. But God has nothing to do with any of all this. We just live in a bad environment. We just live, what I call it, on the other side of the tracks. If the truth be known, I was born in a town called otrabende. Now, in Spanish, otrabende means the other side. There's the town, and then there's the other side. Okay? Yeah. I was born on the other side. Otrabende. Otrabende. And now things have changed, but as a 19-year-old, I went back to Curaçao, where I was born, and I went to Otrabende. And it was still a run-down, dirty place. Otrabende, the other side. Make sense? We are born, we are living on the other side. We are living in the bad, wrong part of town. But we were born here. And we were born because of, one, Satan's rebellion. And that continued rebellion, he used his power of deception to deceive Eve and got us on the wrong side of the tracks, in the bad side of town. So what can we learn from all this? Well, let me use the butterfly as an example. The butterfly as an example. Okay? The butterfly starts out as a caterpillar. And he's perfectly fine, and he has lots of leaves, and he has all the food he needs, and he is perfectly fine crawling around, and some people are scared of him, and some kids like to take him and play with him, and he's attractive, but can be, to people who are attracted to that kind of thing. But something happens to him. He gets balled up, and he gets imprisoned, and we call it the pupa, we call it all these things, but this poor caterpillar, all of a sudden now his freedom is gone. Something bad's happened. He can't eat, he can't see, he can't move, he can't do anything. But until that happens to him and he goes through a process, he can never come out as a butterfly. So, lesson we can learn from that yes, we are in a bad environment and bad things happen to us, but if we go through that process called conversion, and again, conversion only happens after repentance, and repentance only happens after the goodness of God, remember, God's the only one that's good, leads us to repentance. So it all comes together, it all ties together. The goodness of God, he's good, leads us to repentance. Repentance leads us to conversion. Conversion leads us to God's Holy Spirit and living and doing the things, even though we live in a bad environment, that helps us grow and get to the point where we can even do good things, God's way of doing and being good. And that gives us that hope of becoming good as we qualify to be in God's kingdom. So again, I ask, why do bad things happen to good people? AKA, why do bad things happen to us? Because we consider ourselves good people. And on a relative scale of speaking, we are. We are unique. We are in God's church. He has called us. He set us aside. He's put his protection over us and around us. And we are striving, albeit sometimes not perfectly, to obey him and do his will. In all this, it gives us an opportunity to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:21, he asks us, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's look at Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:11. Now I speak, and this is Paul speaking, in respect of want, for I have learnt, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. So it gives us an opportunity to inspire and be a blessing to others. Because in whatever state we find ourselves, good things or bad things, if we are content and glorify God, then we are a source of encouragement and inspiration, and sometimes even a blessing to others as well. Bad things help us to learn to trust God. Because sometimes it's only when the bad things happen that all of a sudden now we realize we need to pray more, we need to fast more, we need to meditate more, we need to get closer to God. And sometimes it's not until the bad things happen that that realization really dawns on us. So we get to the point, and let's turn to Psalms 31, reading verses 19 and 20. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So all of a sudden now, we learn to trust God. When bad things happen, we learn to trust him more. And as we are told in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Bad things happen to make us perfect. We're asked in Matthew 5:48 to become perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we all know the story of Job. We won't go there. But Job came as close to perfection as you can get because of the sufferings that he went through. And at the end of it all, he said, I thought I knew you. And I thought I understood you. But now I know you. Now I see you. Now I understand you. Now I appreciate you. And then Hebrews 2:10, let's turn there. Hebrews 2, verse 10, for it became him who, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So even Jesus, because of the bad things that happened to him, became perfect. So why do bad things happen to good people? We're just living on the wrong side of town. But God is in charge, and he can turn all that for our good. So now that we understand that none is good but God, now that we understand that God is not looking for good people, but those of a meek and contrite spirit who tremble at his word, for that's our only hope of becoming good, keeping his commandments, obeying him. Now that we understand that because of Satan's rebellion and Adam's disobedience, we were born, like I said, on the wrong side of the tracks in a bad part of town, a very bad neighborhood called this present evil world. Let us not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked. In fact, let's turn to Proverbs and read that, Proverbs 3:25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So we learn to trust God. We learn to not be afraid. We understand where we are. We understand the dangers. We learn to protect ourselves. And we learn to live above it. And we learn to, with God's Holy Spirit, to climb out of it. Let us not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Job 23:10, let's look at that. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So we live in a bad environment. We are exposed to bad things. We ourselves are struggling because inherently we are bad, as Paul said. But when it's all done, we shall come forth as gold. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin of doubt, fear, discouragement that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we do these things, we can say like Christ, when very bad things were happening to him, not only did he say, "Not my will, but your will be done," but Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.